Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We got some MTSU football tonight. They're taking on Delaware at 6:30. Catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Paul Kuharski will be with us a little bit later in the program. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. So looking forward to PK being in with us today. Joe, I do have to read this tweet from Devin, or this text from Devin from Dover. Says, I hope y'all see what it takes for Vandy to be good at football. All the other sports in Nashville have to suck to balance it out. This is all, deep down, it's Clark Lee's fault. If they're going to be good at football, it just saps everything from the Titans and the Preds at the same time.
They're sucking all the positive energy out of the atmosphere. This is what matters. Although, if that's the case, all right, Vandy, go win the natty then, man. I mean, it's bad enough for these local professional teams. That should be a natty, okay?
I agree.
That should at least be like the semis of the CFP. So let's go. If that's what it's going to take, then take it and run with it.
One texter says, seven games in, and Stamkos sounds like it's game 78. Trotz needs to go. Great coach, not a GM. Trotz speaks well, but actions differ. I mean, Brunette and Trotz are just getting hammered on our text line right now, which is not surprising.
And I've done this before, when Laviolette got fired. And again, totally agree. Like, I heard Vingan talk about this recently. Vingan, who's still on the bleep list with those onions in the trash, but he made a good point. You know, again, with Laviolette, there's a shelf life with him, right? That's pretty clear and all that stuff. But even at that point, it was like it was missteps by David Poyle that were the bigger issue. So people right now screaming about Brunette, I'm not like defending him either or saying there's nothing on him, but I think that the strategy of putting this team together is a bigger issue than the coaching. Am I wrong?
I don't know that you're wrong. I think that's probably accurate. I will say that oftentimes that doesn't matter, and that the coach may end up being the one paying the price here pretty quickly.
Oh, and especially in this league, no doubt.
Yeah, we'll see how it got. Now the Predators, they march to beat their own drum when it comes to firing coaches. So we'll see what happens on that front. And again, like, we're seven games in, they may roll off four in a row here to close out the homestand and figure things out. It's hard for me looking at the whole season and based on what their roster is right now at center. Like, it's clear, and Stamkos basically said this yesterday, they're not going to be all that good offensively. Like, they're just not. And can you really win on a consistent basis if you're just not at all really threatening offensively? It's a hard thing to do in the NHL. So we'll see if they can do it as they move forward here, and if they can just, I guess, clamp down on defense. Joe, on the Tony Vitello front, still no news as to what exactly is going on. If you followed it yesterday, you know, I think Mike Wilson threw this out there, you know, bringing up the Lane Kiffin day, or certainly Shiano Sunday. It wasn't really like those, like, it wasn't to the scope of that, but the Vols had a scrimmage yesterday at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, and Vitello was out there, and all these fans show up, and they're chanting his name, and he's waving to the crowd, and he's signing autographs and throwing baseballs in the crowd. He's talking about how much he loves them and all those things. And, you know, Eric Kane, friend of the show, putting it out there last night that he had a meeting with the team after the scrimmage. And basically, Vitello has not yet come to a decision on what is happening, whether or not he's going to take the job with the Giants or whether he is going to stay put at Tennessee and be their head coach. So this is dragging on a little bit here, Joe. It's interesting. There's clearly, I think, some internal struggle going on with Vitello as to what to do moving here. So what do you make of this? Where do you think this is all heading with Tony Vitello? And what do you make of yet another coaching situation at Tennessee, albeit a different sport this time? That, I mean, people were on campus yesterday with signs. Like, it's nuts out there in Knoxville right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to this one. I'll tell you that on Saturday at The Athletic, Ken Rosenthal and Andrew Baggerly and Britt Garoli, shout out Michigan State School of Journalism, broke the story that the Vols were closing in. You know, so basically, you know, that's the MLB people, right? It's that side of it, that the Giants were closing in. They decided on Vitello, and I think that at that point, the expectation was it would be wrapped up pretty quickly. Then Jeff Passan comes out and says, well, it might be 24 to 72 hours. I'm like, oh, 72 hours. Okay. Well, the 72-hour mark passed yesterday. In the meantime, in these few days, Robbie, I would say that at least a couple times I've been pretty much sure that it was about to be announced, okay, that Tony Vitello is going to the Giants. So at this point, I just have an open mind on whatever. Like, there was some talk about, you know, MLB doesn't want this to be announced. You know, well, the days that they have postseason games, well, they didn't have one yesterday. Nope. So
don't have one until Friday either.
Yeah, so they got all – here you go. You got some days here. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's struggling with it. I've seen a situation like this before when I had to basically stalk Tom Izzo for about 10 days waiting to see if he was going to go to the Cleveland Cavaliers, which at that point, if he did, he was hoping that he would be coaching LeBron. LeBron ended up going to Miami anyway. But anyway, like it's signs and it's people that we love you and all this stuff. And, you know, Tony talks to his team. I mean, there's San Francisco Giants accounts that are out there like, looks, you know, like Tony looks emotional as he says goodbye to his coaches, you know, and it's like, well, I don't know. Is that what he did? Because he hasn't decided. He hasn't told anybody he's decided. And then now you have apparently Vols fans making fake Giants accounts. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Insane.
So they're trying to like make him look bad so the Giants will leave him alone. Truly amazing.
Or I
stuff.
Guess to make him think that Giants fans like hate him or something. Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
Jess, not checkers.
I like it. Yeah, that's right. Look, Buster Posey, I mean, he's good friends with him, the Giants GM. And by the way, I believe that there's a bunch of Vols in the Giants organization, but Drew Gilbert is, I think, front and center here, and the reunion with him potentially, which of course I understand Vols fans don't want to hear because it's like, no, I want Tony to be my coach. I get it. But I would also say, Robbie, imagine like Drew Gilbert and Tony Vitello on the same major league team together and what that might look like. If it happens, I must say it's a your popcorn situation.
Yeah. I mean, this whole thing's very, I mean, weird's not the right word, but it's interesting that it's dragging out as long as it is because, you know, like I said, Saturday, it felt like it's a foregone conclusion, right? Like he was going to be the next head coach of the Giants. And, you know, we were going to talk about, you know, Tennessee, where do they go from here? I mean, my guess is if he does end up leaving, it's going to be internal the way that they go. And it probably should be internal based on what they've got there. So, yep. You know, that still, I guess, if I had to guess, is the most likely way this goes is that he ends up taking the Giants job. But it is interesting to me that it's taking this long. Like, there's clearly some struggle. And does he at the end of this say, you know what? I've got a really good situation here. I'm very successful, obviously, at Tennessee, and this is where I want to be. I don't know. Like, it's interesting to me that it's taking this long. And if you're the Giants, like, you know, if he's your guy, he's your guy. But do you have any sort of trepidation if you're the Giants of, man, like, is his heart really in it if it's taking this long? I don't know. Like, I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, no, maybe. Yeah, for sure. Like, because I think that there's – I think the Giants – did not expect people to be sitting here on October 22nd asking the question of whether Tony Vitello is taking the job or not. So does that sour them? Again, I think relationships are a part of this for sure. But yeah, and there's always okay, what's going on? What's going on behind the scenes? What can Tennessee do? What have they tried to do? Is there anything they can do? We talked a little bit about it. Look, I do think that. I mean, there are a few things. As great as things have gone for Tony Vitello, you still, if you're a college sports coach of a sport where, you know, the sport is popular enough for players to get paid, you are dealing with one-year free agents.
Yeah.
And dealing with one-year free agents is exhausting for anyone, even people who win national championships. Also, Tony Vitello is at a school where, of course, no one should bat an eyelash if football gets whatever football wants. But there's two basketball programs that matter to people, matter to Danny White, matter and get money. And that can absolutely cause problems. It's you know, some of these schools, I mean, you go to like the Big East, they don't even have football programs and they got a $20.5 million rev share. And it's like, okay, what do you need? Hoops, 12 mil. Yep. Okay. Let's build a super team. There's not an infinite amount of resources here. And so that's another thing to keep in mind. Tennessee, to its credit, has a lot of good programs, but also that can be frustrating for the coaches that are scrapping for every resource they can find.
Boy, is Danny White taking some heat from certain sections of all Twitter right now. He's getting smoked out there.
But this is what, and I see that, but my question is, so what is your, like, what has he done here that's wrong?
Yeah, I don't know.
Slash, what does he need to do? Again, if you want to say, screw the Lady Vols, I don't care about Tennessee women's basketball, give them nothing, that program can go away. You can say that, but you don't speak for all Tennessee fans.
Right.
And that sport, you talk about growth right now. I mean, so like it's a tough spot for an AD. And again, I'm not sitting here saying this is as simple as, you know, whatever, like, you gave that program and I'm leaving. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that is a dynamic here that you can't ignore when a coach potentially looks to leave. But the biggest thing is still, and this is why I think he's going to take the job, it's the freaking San Francisco Giants, man. This has never happened. It's never happened that a college coach with no pro experience gets a MLB job. It's the San Francisco Giants. And like you said the other day, Robbie, if it doesn't work out, okay, come back to Tennessee or replace Van Horn at Arkansas, whatever. It's there for him.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on Tony Vitello, plus two college football coaches that I am convinced and consistent on that you do not dislike enough. We'll get more into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got some tickets to give away, a 4-pack of tickets to AEW Presents Dynamite and Collision at the Pinnacle, coming up on Wednesday, November 26th. Caller number 5 will win those tickets, 615-737-1025. Let's welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning, buddy. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, how you doing, Robbie? What's up, Joe?
Doing good, buddy.
What's up, Mark?
Joe, you funny, man. I mean, you stalk Izzo for all that time. You know Izzo wasn't going to coach the Cavaliers. You know LeBron wasn't going to play for Izzo, Joe. Joe, you knew that. That's why he made the decision to go to Miami. But I'm calling to talk about Tony Vitello today, man. And I mean, Joe, you're right with NIL and stuff and 1-year free agents in college, but he's got a good job there with Tennessee. Joe, that's a top 5 program. I would hate to see him leave. I mean, he's a fiery guy. Would he be able to blend in as a manager in the National League West with the Giants? Would he get the respect of the locker room as a manager with the Giants? I mean, I know, but suppose he wants him as a head coach, as a coach and whatever, whatnot, but I kind of worry about that. But, I mean, he's a good coach, man. But, I mean, I don't know who would come in and take that job. That is a great job right now. It's a top 5 job. He's got a heck of a program there at Tennessee. And he is, you know, getting good players in the portal, recruiting pretty good. So, I mean, I don't know if he'll take that job or not. I wouldn't be shocked if he did take the job. But I think the Giants are a historical franchise in the National League, and they're on the come up. They almost made the playoffs this year in the National League West. So, yeah, he may lean toward that job, but I think that's a good job. Maybe Tennessee will give him some more money or something and keep him there, but that's going to be something to watch. But, hey, Joe, have a good day, Robbie. Joe, don't be mad at me for laughing at you, man, but
thank you,
I thought that was funny what you said, but I'll see y'all later, man.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. All right. The money part of it is interesting. You know, also his style to a 162-game regular season. That's probably more interesting than anything. I have no doubt, especially early, that, like, if he became a Major League Baseball manager, like, he could win over the locker room pretty quickly. Like, I'm not really worried about that. But his style, and going from college to MLB, which is just totally—it's totally different. Like it just—it's completely different. How does that translate to Major League Baseball and the way that he manages, how fiery he is? Like, is he going to get ejected from a game 45 times a year in Major League Baseball? What's that going to look like?
Oh, it's amazing. No, it's a fascinating. I mean, look, I've thought about this. It's like, I mean, he could be, if he has success, he could be like a Billy Martin kind of, you know, personality in MLB. MLB could use some personality. But yes, I mean, the intensity on every pitch that he thinks is missed. I mean, you can't do that for, you know, for 162 games. Abel on the YouTube chat is just really struggling with this argument, you know, with the whole, all the other SEC schools are dealing with the same thing. No, they're not. They don't all have four sports at this level that demand this. Georgia does not have any of those programs.
It's got one sport.
It's not the same thing as Tennessee. Now, most of them, yeah, they have multiple sports. They have, sure. But four at the level of Tennessee, it's the exception more than the norm in the SEC. Go through the schools, go through baseball, both basketballs, and obviously everybody has to have football. You will not find many schools that are the same as Tennessee. Then he's like, oh, so every coach should give up because of NIL recruiting? I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. What I'm saying is, when you look at this whole situation, this is part of it. Now he says Tennessee doesn't have a money issue. Listen, man. You can say that all you want, but the bottom line is every AD out there is like, hey, a carte blanche for all of you. Carte blanche, here we go. You got all the – no, bull crap. And I understand it's like we can clown in these schools for like, you know, oh, we don't have enough money, and then they fire a coach with a $50 million buyout. No question. There's hypocrisy involved. But we also do compartmentalize things, and the bottom line is, no, there's not an infinite – resources are not infinite here, okay? And so, yes, when you have this many programs, you can run into issues. We will hear about it a whole bunch more. I've heard about it at Auburn, too, you know, which is coach of this program and coach B of this program at the same school saying, that's BS. Now I'm screwed and I can't get this player because you let that coach get that player. It is a real thing. So you can, you know, sit there and pretend it's not. I'm telling you it's a real thing. It doesn't mean every coach gives up. It is a part of the story with Tony Vitello.
I do want to get to this. So, you know, as we know, College Game Day coming to town this weekend for Vanderbilt, Missouri. And I guess Missouri is just going to start leaning into the disrespect card. Here's what Missouri head coach Eli Drinkwitz had to say at his media availability.
College Game Day is coming to a Mizzou game for the first time in 11 years. They've only covered Mizzou six times. I'm curious, does that amplify the stage itself at all? Or does that change anything in preparation or make the game even bigger?
Is it in First Bank Stadium?
I'm not sure where it is this week.
Doesn't affect anything then for us. We're the road team. So we'll show up. We'll go to the visitors' locker room. We'll walk out on the field and play the game. Whatever else they got for their fans there is up to them. But doesn't affect us. I don't even think they want to talk to us.
I don't think College Game Day wants to talk to us at all. I don't think anybody wants to talk to good old Missouri Tigers out there. Between him and Beamer whining like a baby after the game this week, in the post-game press conference, I can't stand those two. I've been yelling about those two for years. You don't hate them enough. I'm telling you. You do not hate Eli Drinkwitz and Shane Beamer enough.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope Vanderbilt wins by 95 points on Saturday.
They won't even talk to us. I don't even think they know Missouri's got a program out there. I don't even know what to do.
Oh, God, it's amazing. Idiot. Oh, it's fantastic. The problem is, again, you know, between these two coaches that you just absolutely love, is this one's actually a pretty good coach, you know. So that's the thing. His team actually has a chance to come out and back that up. But yeah, that's very annoying and hilarious. I hope Game Day, like, they'll interview him, right? Don't they almost always talk to the visiting coach?
God, I hope they don't. That'd be awesome.
But then if they don't and he wins, oh, my goodness.
By the way, can you just think about the world we're living in real quick? Trying to play the disrespect card against Vanderbilt? That's what we're talking about right now.
What a world Vanderbilt. We live in.
Nobody wants to talk to us. It's Vanderbilt. Okay. Whatever you say, Eli.
Hey, to be fair, I mean, Vanderbilt is kind of like the darling of sports right now.
That's what happens when you win.
Again, that's right. That's right. People are trying to come up with these programs. Yeah, you know, Florida. Well, Florida women's basketball compared to Tennessee women's basketball. Has Florida ever won in women's basketball?
I mean, honestly, the one that could end up being pretty close to all this right now with how things are going, Vanderbilt, right? Like, Vanderbilt, good football. Maybe the best women's basketball player in America. You got Byington, who was really good his first year. And we know what Tim Corbin is. And it's pretty good right there for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, it's a little bit of reading between the lines here, but like Mark Byington, some of the stuff he said at SEC Media Day, it sounded like someone who's a little concerned that they're going to have enough money. I mean, it didn't come out and flat out say that, but I mean, this is what it is with coaches. And I mean, it's weird to think about, but it's like, I think there might be something to when you're looking at jobs. Okay, how many programs do they actually like fully fund to be competitive at the highest level of that particular sport? And if it's like three others, ooh. And again, football should never get screwed on this, and I don't think football does. In the SEC, I don't think so. But the other, if there's three others that are fighting for the scraps, I mean, that's a lot on an AD and an athletic department and a booster group and all that. Like, I'm, you know, I understand, like, it's already amazing amounts of money that these people spend, but they really do at times say, actually, no, I don't want to give you money for that. It does happen.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Back into the Titans coming up next. We got the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad later this hour. Paul Kuharski will be with us from paulkuharski.com. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 the game. Vandy fans, it's time to party. Commodores are ranked in the top 10. College game day coming to Nashville. And to celebrate, we will be broadcasting live this Friday from noon to 6 on 1025 the game. At the new Party Foul near Vanderbilt in Midtown at 2031 Broadway. Plus, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to the sold-out game against Missouri coming up this Saturday. Come on out to the all-new Party Foul in Midtown this Friday from noon to 6. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar, Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com is with us here on the program. PK, good morning.
Good morning, boys. Joe, is there no light where you are? It's in the year 2000.
Ooh, I like that one. We've had a lot of Blair Witch Project jokes. Well, it's somewhat. Actually, I'm starting to see a little bit of the room behind me come into, but it's very dark and dreary outside. So you know, you just have to deal with the glow of my face and the milky richness of my voice.
It's just an odd thing. Like, most people have light available where they are.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I think you should just move on and not worry about it. I mean, you bitch about enough stuff in your life. Maybe you should pick one thing and say, you know what? Today I'm not going to bitch about this.
Well, this is not that thing.
Let's try to do that with your life.
This is not that
long
thing.
Because it lasted about 40 seconds.
It's alarming. It's alarming to see your gouty face just like standing out and dark all around. And I want to protect the listeners.
Okay.
The listeners are my concern.
How about this? How about this? Is this better? How about just nothing?
Yeah, it's just, you know, nothing would be fine. I think we could all agree, given a choice between that and nothing, we'd take nothing. Oh, good morning, Joe. Good to
we'll
see
do this then.
Are you on secret assignment? Too.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, I'm on assignment.
Great.
Lots of things going on.
A lot of stuff happening out there. PK, what's the Mike McCoy experience been like so far through about a little bit over a week at this point?
I've been advised to I've had some conversations about giving him through this week, that maybe there'll be an attempt at some new media friendliness later in the week. So I've pledged to kind of do that, but if that doesn't happen, I'm out. How about that?
Translate both things for us.
I mean, he basically, on Friday, there was a unified media attempt to be friendly and open relations. And it was, you know, kind of rebuffed.
It's been the press conference has been a little different the last week and a half. Not that that ultimately matters at the end of all of it, because, you know, they're going to be hiring a head coach at some point.
But there's nothing of interest there.
Yeah, not a whole lot going on in the press conferences.
He definitely does not agree. He does not agree that effort's ever a problem.
No, he does not.
No, well, no coach ever agrees that effort is a problem. That would be extreme. But, you know, in terms of saying anything interesting or sharing any information, so far he scores on a scale of 1 to 0 to 10, you know, probably a solid 0.
I think
so. You're missing Cali, what you're telling us.
The biggest thing that stands out to me so far about Mike McCoy was what I saw at the end of the first half on Sunday. And it was like, wow, that guy doesn't trust his offense at all. And I guess he doesn't trust his defense at all either. It's just like, let's just try like mad to get out of here and get into halftime.
Which would be fine. I mean, it's not fine because there's no reason for this team to act as conservatively as it does. But at least say, like, hey, I wanted to get in there with the 4-point margin and take it from there. But to say, like, oh, the wind, and there's so many factors. What were the factors? Well, there were factors. There were a lot of factors. And the wind, which we kicked into from 50 yards about 8 minutes earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. Rough stuff. Rough stuff. So let's start there on the Cam Ward front. What did you make of his game? Because stat-wise, overall, wasn't bad Sunday. And then a couple turnovers that obviously taint that a little bit.
Yeah, the two major mistakes were killer. You can't just go around dropping the ball with the regularity he has in the last two games. It's ridiculous. It's amateurish. And then these throws behind guys are going to cause problems. And it clearly caused a problem when he threw behind Chig and it goes off his hands. You know, people like to say, you know, if you can get your hands on it, you can catch it. It takes a certain amount of acrobatics for a guy to, you know, I think it's impressive that Chig could reach back and get that. The ball's just too far behind him for him to be able to do anything with.
Yep.
So those two plays turn into catastrophes, and that's that. You know, I don't like to do carve-outs, you know, and say, well, besides that, but he had a good game from a passer rating standpoint, from a yardage standpoint, from a best passer rating he's had, second best yardage he's had, best yards per attempt he's had.
Completion percentage, best one he's had.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, we're looking for incremental growth from him. You know, still some dumb stuff, but certainly the sort of incremental growth that I'm looking for in terms of the Cam Ward curve. So I found it to be rather encouraging. I rode out of the game. Now, look, I know he's not Drake May, and his rookie year is you know, right now and trending towards being worse than Drake May's. But Drake May had a pretty unsatisfying rookie year. Second year gets into a much better coaching situation and is playing really, really well. I think you can look at Cam Ward and hope for a similar track. Do you have faith that the Titans are going to get him a Mike Vrabel, Josh McDaniels type pairing? Probably, you know, at best a B level of that. But, you know, I could see him following a similar track as not as good of a quarterback, but, you know, a lesser level of that is completely possible. These people who have declared it's time to have a discussion about Cam Ward, 7 games in, they're doing very well on the clicks front and on the ratings front, but on the sensibility front, they're scoring about as well as Mike McCoy with the media.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, discussion is what's wrong with a discussion? I don't know if I can't
They've declared it's time. Like after 7 games, it's now time to have a discussion about. Well, Andrew Rising for one, it's time for the Cam Ward discussion. Tune in.
That's what he's saying. Well, that's what he's saying. He's out on Cam.
It certainly seems.
Well, why don't you ask him? You're just going to guess?
I'm tracking what's on social media. I'm not being a media reporter now.
You're in the same room as him all the time. Why don't you ask him if that's what he means? Discussion is fine.
He's not at the Titans as often as you said. Not a discussion, the discussion. Bust or not a bust. There's a lot of bust or not a bust. Not merely him. A lot of bust or not a bust conversations going on right now. And, Joe, that's ridiculous to have a bust, not a bust conversation 7 games into a rookie's career.
If,
Any
if
road.
That's what he means, I agree. I didn't take it that way. Also, are you basically telling us that the Titans' best hope is that they can be the Walmart Patriots? It's like, yeah, you know, B-level of this coach and B-level of this OC with this B-level quarterback, and yeah.
Well, I don't think Cam Ward's going to be.
Is the ceiling 8-9?
No, but I don't think Cam Ever? Ward. I don't think Cam Ward's going to be your number one quarterback in the way that Joe Burrow was the number one pick in the draft. Do you?
No.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. My hope is that Cam Ward is a
you just laid out a very depressing picture there.
A good foundational quarterback for the franchise who can be, you know, maybe the 8th, probably the 12th best quarterback in the league. He's not going to be in the conversation with Mahomes and Allen and Burrow and those guys. So in that level.
Oh, 12th would be amazing.
Right.
I mean, that so would that's be what fantastic.
So you just were shooting me down for saying Walmart version.
Well, no, but you said, well, you went through the entire Patriots, and you're like, well, you can do a B level of this and this and this.
Well, you think they're getting a Vrabel, Josh McDaniels level coach and coordinator here?
Do you think it's impossible to get a coach as good or better than Vrabel?
I think that they'll have a hard time getting a coach who comes in and has – 5-2 record, 7 games into next season. Yes.
So basically, we wind back around to your head still up Vrabel's ass. Good to know.
Just a little spicy.
It's not a Vrabel thing. It's a record thing. Do you think the Titans have a chance of being 5-2, 7 games into next season? Yes or no?
Oh, I'll answer knows, no, man. Who knows? Okay. Well, I'll answer that this
well,
league.
Well,
is...
whose head, whose ass are you? Is your head up then? Because given good a choice between...
Did you construct that sentence correctly?
I think you did.
Whose ass is your head up then? Because if you're accusing me of being up Vrabel's...
Whose ass is your head? I think it's up whose ass is your head, I think.
You can debate that to deflect, but the question is, if you're going to choose belief, if you're going to choose belief in Vrabel based on what he's doing, or belief in the Titans getting a coach and a coordinator who could get the Titans where Vrabel is right now, I'll take Vrabel in that every time, and you can accuse me of whatever you want. And
you said
silence.
Are you sad that they didn't do a feature on you like they did on Teresa? Just admit it to us.
Well, the Rex rant with Joe
Rex.
My
feature would have come before that when I asked the first question and actually had a question.
The Rex rant with Joe Rexrode coming up next. Paul Kuharsky with us for the rest of the program. Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just... Well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
102.5 The Game. You come for sports takes, you stay for gout updates.
Congenital heart disease, more like congenital heart disease.
Sala also from San Francisco now.
Sail away? Robert Sala?
I think Stone Temple Pilots, and I promise I don't do drugs, but, you know, that was my first rock concert right there.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
The team is not for sale. It's never been for sale. The team is not for sale.
Whose head, whose ass are you? Is your head up then?
We ass, we in. We love, we ass.
It is time for the Rex Rant. Brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net.
Whose ass is your head up then? Which is what I said, which is fine.
You nailed it.
I stumbled early and then I got it.
No. You're ending with a preposition, dummy.
Yeah, we end with prepositions all the time. The King's English is not featured on 102.5 The Game.
Why don't you have a little
self-respect? Do you never end sentences? I'm going to start listening and notching the sentences you end with prepositions here.
I do not end sentences with prepositions.
I'm loving the start of
you listen all you want, buddy.
All right.
Now listen, Kuharsky says he's taking the rant, but real quick before you take over, PK, I just want my quick rant is, and I haven't heard it.
Do you have one or do you not have one? You texted me begging for a rant.
I wanted to give you an opportunity. You're an angry man. So listen, I just want to say, I haven't heard this, but apparently you and Stilly had this big argument about whose name is first. The show is Stilly and Pauly. I came up with the show. It's my idea. You came it's up my with the show. Show. Yeah. I run this show. It's Stilly and Pauly, and that's it.
He
Over.
Runs the show. If Goodbye. You gave Joe a stream yard to put something together to put out a podcast.
There's no way to get out.
I mean, he'd call in Glennon for technical assistance, which is really saying a guy with a computer that's falling apart where you have to tape the hinges together.
Is Trey Avery on this show?
Yeah.
Trey?
Have you checked the rabbit ears? That there is potential in the rabbit ears?
We did not have a big debate. We had a small conversation at the end, and he used you as his major point of support. To have his name first. I don't know. You put the big gun at
He's
the
right.
end. You put the big gun at the end, so that's fine. It does
there we go. Fine.
It does probably sound better. All right. Joe has no rant and doesn't want to earn his money today, so I will take over the rant. The Dodgers are crushing it, and it's become very it's a new fad. I've seen this everywhere, that people are not holding the Dodgers in contempt for spending so much money. They're saying, well, if these other teams had spent money, if the Angels had just stepped up and paid Shohei Ohtani, then the Dodgers wouldn't build this dynasty. If the Red Sox hadn't been idiots with Mookie Betts and just paid him, then the Dodgers wouldn't have this dynasty. And on and on and on and on. Just apologies for the Dodgers spending money, which is great logic that has never in history been applied to the New York Yankees. If the New York Yankees spend a lot of money and win, oh, the evil empire, and look at how they're spending money, yada, yada, yada. But now that the Dodgers do it, the laid-back Dodgers in the Santa Ana wins and all of this stuff, it's everybody else's fault for not spending. This approach has never, ever in the history of mankind been applied to the Yankees when the Yankees were big spenders.
It's true.
Everyone saved it their whole lives and now is applying it to the Dodgers. This is unbelievable. If it was the Red Sox, even, who I hate, and they've taken their turns at the top of the spending, if the choking Mets, who also spend billions of dollars, just don't know how to win with it, had taken their turn, this wouldn't apply. But somehow the Dodgers have this protective bubble. And I'm not saying the logic is wrong. I'm saying it's just never used for anybody but the Dodgers. They have this special insulation. And I don't understand it. It's a magical formula. God bless them for everybody now putting the blame on everyone else for not spending money instead of putting the blame on the Dodgers for spending so much money. But it's a miracle. I don't know how they did it. Congratulations to them. On top of winning and being fantastic and having this lineup, they now have bought themselves with all of this money insulation from being the team that outspends everybody. Bravo to the Dodgers.
It is amazing how it's worked out that way. Hey, look, the Dodgers have a fall guy, right? Like, just blame everything on Ohtani's interpreter. That's what he did. Ohtani's interpreter. All that stuff. I mean, they just spent a lot of money. I think when Dave Roberts asked about, like, the idea of buying championships last week, and he kind of, like, sidestepped the question. He's like, yeah, the expectation around here is to win. The expectation is to win. It is amazing, though. I mean, go look at their payroll. And go look at, like, the Miami Marlins payroll. It's wild.
It's a broken sport in terms of the finances. And, you know, they're not very good at fixing things.
Do you want a cap? Salary cap in baseball?
So what's the answer?
I don't know what the answer is. I'm not an economist. I'm very bad with numbers. But they need to do something. Yeah. Better with words than with numbers, I would argue confidently.
Big Blue Jays fan.
Why not a cap?
Well, the cap would have to be high enough to account for, I think some teams would have trouble reaching the cap. I mean, I think some of these teams, quite frankly, need to be sold to people who are more entrepreneurial and willing to spend money, and you can't force people to sell, as we know. But like if your team's going to trade Skubal instead of paying him, that's a bad thing for baseball.
I agree. I mean, yeah, Pittsburgh is exhibit A of why the system is broken.
Yeah, and they've got a phenomenal park. They've got a phenomenal park. They've got a phenomenal fan base, and there's no reason there shouldn't be a system that allows them to compete. Given their player pool.
Don't get me started on Chris Illich's cheapness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the people that this complaint is talking about.
So heavily anti-Dodgers here on the program. Everybody's rooting against the Dodgers. Is there anybody out there rooting for the Dodgers? It's not just like a Dodgers fan? Like, because it's Toronto, you're rooting
for
America?
The thing is that the team is actually likable.
They are like
Yankees ever. Like, they all suck, and I hate all of them.
You don't think the
mid-90s, whatever reason, that
Yankees were likable? You hated Hideki Jeter? Matsui?
Andy Pettit?
Andy Pettit, get out of here.
That's what I'm saying.
Bernie Williams, A-Rod, so hateable. The way he would hit some clutch home runs and play the guitar in his locker peacefully.
That Jorge Posada.
Oh, God, yeah. Posada with his kid who had head fractures.
Yeah.
Rivera.
Terrible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so, yeah, tell us all the – oh, great. Yeah.
I mean, these guys are not hateable guys. They weren't. Scott Brosius just hitting, game-winning home runs of the World Series and going about his business. They were the least hateable Yankees of all
time.
Don Mattingly was not on any of those teams. He didn't win a World Series. He's going to win one now with Toronto.
He represents Yankee players of all time with his stupid mustache.
There we go. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Paul with us the rest of the show. We got a lot of things on the Titans front to get into. We'll take your questions as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.